Hello and welcome to Reach Mahjong. Mahjong's weekly podcast. With you is your host Garth Nelson and our hostess
Jen Barr.
And our special guest for the week,
Gemma Collins.
How's it going?
Oh, that's how you say it.
No kidding, I was just thinking exactly the same thing. We were just announcing like results from some tournament. We're like, "Oh, Gemma, could how do you say?" It was very.
I just avoided the
instant you started introducing us, I was like, "Oh my God! Finally, we are going to hear from the horse's mouth how to pronounce her name."
Welcome, Gemma, to Japan.
Yes.
Yay.
Gemma, you just got here. You came to Japan yesterday.
Yes.
Wow.
Pre-Japan.
You've been to Japan a lot, though. You lived here.
Yeah, I lived here for a year.
I
lived here for a year. And then,
where did you live in Japan when you were first here?
Kyoto.
Very nice. Do you like Kyoto better or Tokyo better?
Probably Kyoto better. It's smaller, it's less busy.
Yeah, I like Kyoto better. Actually, I like Osaka better.
Yeah, Osaka's nice.
Yeah, I have to agree with you guys on that one. Osaka, it does seem pretty dope.
But then, like, I hate it because they're like, then Japanese people are like, yeah, foreigners like Osaka.
Really? Like, they say that as if that's a bad thing for Osaka, that foreigners
It's just like, if you're a foreigner, you have to like Osaka.
Oh, it's obvious. So, like, it's not really that cool to say that you like Osaka.
Right,
you're
exactly.
A foreigner, obviously you like Osaka.
Yeah, exactly. Just like that. It's like, well, yeah, you're a foreigner, so you like Coke.
Well, you're a person from Tokyo. You could have been as cool as somebody from Osaka, but you blew it, and now you're just jealous of them for not being cool enough, for your not being cool enough. Pathetic. All right, yes, so welcome to Japan, although we're sort of weird people to be welcoming. It's not our job, yes, that's our job, to welcome people to Japan.
That's my job.
Yes,
that's why they give me a visa to live here.
Really?
So I can welcome people to
Japan. That's the category on your passport. It says official welcomer to Japan.
Yep.
Wow.
Should you be standing at the escalator and then at the airport going, welcome to Japan?
People that do that for me, you probably saw them on your way.
Oh, right, okay.
What is the Japanese title for that on the passport?
I train them to welcome all you foreigners to Japan.
Very nice. In case people are new to the podcast and don't exactly know what all our roles are. Gemma is our representative in Europe, and
co-founder,
yes, and is quite possibly the strongest mahjong player in the entire group. Certainly, certainly has more amazing results, at least from the European perspective, than the Japanese perspective over
here. Yeah, she's pretty much the best mahjong player in the room.
Yeah,
and they only claim to fame. The only claim to fame that I have is I taught her everything she knows.
Yeah, so it's sort of, can try to claim some sort of eriness there.
I ride on the coattails.
Yes,
of
we
the
are definitely
of my friends.
Coattails sort of people.
Well, you need to teach me again because I'm not doing so well at the moment.
I think you still have much better results than me. But then again, those who can't do teach, so maybe I will.
Indeed. So, and what's the last tournament you played in?
That was the German Open. I forget what they called it.
The thing in Hanover?
Yeah, I didn't play so well.
Why would you say you didn't play so well in that tournament? Were there mistakes you made that you could point to and say, oh, I shouldn't have done that, or were you just unlucky, or?
I mean, it started off as bad luck, but then when you get into this sort of funk, and you just can't get out of it. You keep trying to get better and better hands.
Indeed.
To pull yourself up, and then it just gets worse and worse.
I know exactly what you're talking about. God, I hate that, and that's one of the things that I that other players, especially like our mentor, will often say. Like you when you're having a bad, a bad streak, you need to change up your play to pull yourself out of it. And I don't know. We go back and forth on this discussion a lot. Like the whole thing about nagare, and how to change your luck. And I mean, on the one hand, I can see how if you're playing badly, you need to change up the way you're playing so that maybe you start playing better.
Yeah.
But if you really look at what you did, and you played right, and you really just got lucky, or you just got unlucky, then to play badly on purpose, because that is going to match your bad luck. I mean, normally you would say, oh, I would never play like this because... I wouldn't play like this normally because this is not a winning way to play, but because I'm losing, this is now going to become a winning way to play? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense at all.
I guess, but I mean, I try not to go for cheap hands, but sometimes when I can feel myself getting, you know, losing the points, I always try to go for the big hands. I think if I maybe tried to get a small hand to kind of change my mindset and think, oh, I'm starting to win now, you know, but I just get into these mindsets and...
That's something, you know, a player that we have interviewed before, Izumi, said a very, very similar kind of reasoning. Like when she falls behind, when she's having kind of a bad streak, she doesn't try to go for the big, you know, score it all back in one try. Like she's really just like, okay, you know, next hand I'm going to come back and put together whatever I have here. I'll just keep going for whatever presents itself as an opportunity.
Yeah, and Kojima says the same thing. Like you should just follow the hand and not call for tiles when you're doing bad.
That is a big thing, yeah. And we've talked about that, too. Not stealing tiles.
It doesn't mean you have to do, like, a big, huge reach hand. It just means, you know, follow your hand and go with what that does. And be ready to fold.
Yeah, being ready to fold is definitely huge. I did not do that enough this weekend. I guess we can sort of shuttle ourselves right into results from this weekend. Jen and I had to play in the North Kanto League session this weekend.
Had to.
We had to, yes. We have chosen to, so now we have to. And we both showed up late, just to keep that image of American people alive.
Oh my god. I think that was the first time I've ever actually been late to North Kanto.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There have been very few North Kanto sessions to which I have arrived on time, actually. So this was pretty much par for the course for me. But I think, and so usually I'm the only one that's late. But this time you were late, I was late, and the guy who's sort of actually supposed to be running the show was even late.
Yeah.
And I think our most, highest ranking player in the thing, who is also sort of, what is he? He's Honbu? He's like team captain or league captain or something. I don't know. Yoshida, what is his official role?
Chiho Cho or something.
He's league captain or something.
Shibucho. Yeah.
He, I think, was a little bit miffed at how it's obvious that people are kind of just screwing off. Oh, it's North Kanto Party League. We can just screw around. And so, like, when the instant I showed up, he's like, minus penalty for you. You get a penalty. And I was like, what?
They didn't even say that to me. They're just like, did you come by car? Like, I think they know that I have other issues going on. So they weren't quite as rude to me. And plus, it was the very first time I was late. I'm always on time. So.
Yeah, what's his name? Kawai said to me, he's like, oh, 5 points off. And like it seemed like he was kind of joking, and then they were like, how late? It's like 8 minutes late? Okay. And then Yoshida was like, 10 points off. And I was like, he said 5 points. So I'm not sure what's going to happen there. And, you know, nobody wrote the penalty on the sheet at the end either, so who knows. But,
yeah, but I don't think they're always right. I mean, I guess at League maybe they do just because there's so many people, but...
There is a spot for it on the sheet.
That's usually for fouls, like chombos.
But this time I think he was especially upset about the guy who's sort of in charge of, like, who's supposed to be collecting League dues at the beginning and whatever. He was late. Like he was even later than you were. I think he was, like, 30 or 40 minutes late. Which is almost too late to even actually be able to participate. If you're more than an hour late in most league situations, they'll just be like, "Yeah, you're screwed. You don't get to play, and you lose the most. You get the biggest penalty we can give you," which I think is like what 100 points minus 100.
Yeah, usually 100, but I don't know. I mean, it's really different. The each regional division has their own rules for that, so that's why it's quite different. Like. North Kanto is not quite as strict.
Yeah.
But Shizuoka is really, really strict.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. How do you know that? Have you ever played in Shizuoka?
No, but that's the one that Sarukawa plays in. And like, they're like, oh, they are all very, very serious about it.
Wow.
Yeah. It's very different.
You'd think, like, Sarukawa he's like the kind of person that you would never imagine having that sort of image, right?
Like, I know he plays in it. I don't think he's in charge of it.
Interesting. Well, yes, and he is one of our top... And obviously, I'm sure when he goes to normal league, he's definitely observing all the important rules there, too.
I was only minus 115 going in yesterday. I thought it was minus 130.
Oh, well, there you have it, yes.
Yeah, so now I'm only minus, like, 50-something.
Because you did have a gigantic win yesterday,
right? A gigantic win. I was, like, 61.
Very nice.
Yeah, and I could have been 65 or so, but I said a score wrong.
Oops. Against another one of our extremely high-ranking players, Tomotake, you said, yeah?
Yeah, he was minus 84 going in. I think he might have gotten a little bit of a plus, but I think this puts me ahead of him. So now I'm, at the worst, 22nd place instead of 24th.
It's interesting. I mean, he's tearing it up in A2 League. It looks like, I mean, if he keeps up this pace, he's probably going to get back into A1 next year.
He's doing good in the Pro Amateur League, too.
Oh, yeah?
He has, going into yesterday, he had 36 points.
Huh.
So maybe he gets all the losing out of the way in the Pro League. And
yeah,
because,
man, he sure did. He just loses like crazy in the Pro North League. Like,
yeah, I got to loan him 10,000 points as well this time.
yeah, he was on my table the first session, I absolutely destroyed him. I had a game where I had 90,000 points just in the game. Like I had to lend him 10,000 points like two or three times, I think. It was kind of ridiculous. My turn is Oya. My turn is dealer. I won 3 12,000 point hands in a row. Just blam blam blam. Woo! 36,000 points.
Yeah, I kept continuing as dealer. I think almost every time I was a dealer.
And then I won a smaller, only 2,600 points each, and then I won another 12,000 point hand after that. It was really, I don't think I've ever had a game that big, except for on Fight Club.
Yeah, I would have had about 70 points, I think, in that one.
If I had scored that one hand.
Correctly.
What kind of hand was it? Like?
So Pei was my pair, and then I had
North,
1, 2, 3 of some suit, and I had 7, 8, 9, 7, 8, 9 of two suits, and the third suit, the Wanzu, I had 7, 8. So it's waiting for the 6 and 9. And then dealer had just reached. And I threw something dangerous to. Because I was ready. I threw like the 5 of cracks or something.
Uh-huh.
And waiting for the 6, 9 of cracks.
Right.
And then Tomotake threw the 9 right away.
Huh.
And so that was 18,000 points. But I said like 12,000 or something.
Was there Dora in there?
Yeah, the 9 of dots was a Dora.
Okay, so you would have had.
And I was a dealer.
Wow, so you'd have had 3 colored runs, Pinfu, or Peace, 3 colored runs, Peace, Chanta, which is what, the mixed outside hand,
yeah,
we say in English?
Outside.
Mixed outside hand plus 1 Dora is, yes, 6. So you forgot, the one that you probably forgot was Pinfu, Peace?
No, actually, I forgot, like, 3 colored runs.
You must have forgot,
so
yeah.
So I said 11,600. And also, because the biggest reason is because it was a 5th continuance.
Uh-huh.
So it's just like, okay, I gotta figure out how to add this 1,500.
So you're already beyond even figuring out how many hand points you have. You're like,
yeah,
okay,
I just wasn't worried about that. I was like, how do I add 1,500? And the thing is, if I said 18,000, it would have been a really easy math equation.
Exactly, yeah.
Since I said 11,016.
That's a point I was just interested in. Europe, do they use the, do they just go straight up to 12,000 points, or do they say 11,600 for that, or 7,700?
11,600.
11,600,
yeah.
So they do the whole, oh, we're going to do the serious scoring method there, too.
Yeah, but we use the cards. We don't have to do it in our head.
Ah.
So it's not so difficult. You all sort of score together rather than just scoring your hand.
So like when somebody wins, you will both, like everybody will say out which hand points are in the hand?
Yeah, you say what hand points are, and we all have a look, and someone misses a hand point, usually people are kind and say, you missed that hand point.
It's true.
I think a lot of people mention it as well. I think that the people like Tomotake, they're of an older generation. I think that it's really possible that he was just trusting me with my scoring.
Yeah.
And he just paid, you know, what I asked him to. Because
I think actually most pros, which I'm not including myself in this, most pros actually consider it a point of pride to be able to see that even if somebody else has made a mistake.
Yeah, and Shirakawa, she will always mention it if she thinks it's more.
Shirakawa?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the vast majority of pros, I think, are extremely quick to point out when something is wrong.
Yeah.
Either too cheap or too expensive. Even if it actually ends up hurting them to say, no, actually, it's a bigger hand, they will usually point it out.
Yeah.
And probably, you know, when Tomotake didn't do it yesterday, it's I think it's probably just a little bit of an oversight. Like, he's probably just not checking.
Yeah, I mean, and because he was paying out so many points already, he's probably like.
Yes, and when I do
about
it,
about making sure that he had enough points to pay the next.
When I do it, I'm really probably just not looking.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, like, because most of the pros don't make mistakes, so.
Yes. Like, most of the time, I'm the one being corrected, so it would seem pretty ridiculous for me to be checking other people's scoring anyway. Like, why would Garth be checking our scoring? Like, we're always the one that has ones that have to check his scoring.
Mm.
Jerk off. It's probably what they're thinking. So you got plus 60, which basically undid half of your minus from the first session, and
yeah,
we, you and
more
I
than half,
more than half. Well done.
Unless I got, they penalized me for being late.
Oh yes, exactly. I got plus 17, minus whatever they might decide to penalize me.
So plus 17 would put you at like 40, a little over 40.
And I don't know, if I were to keep up this pace, I would be sort of within shooting range of the top four to make it to like the final table. But I don't know, I played kind of dumb in the first game, and then actually managed to come back to take second place. And then I kind of crushed in the second game, and then had a big loss in the third game, and then the fourth game, like, I was, you know, coming back, and I could have gone for the win at the end, but I was just like, oh, I'm weak, and I just won it as a 2,000 point hand. I could have reached, and it would have been reach, simples, peace, and, you know, and Tanyao.
Mm-hmm.
Reach, simples, yes, simples and Tanyao, huh? Yeah, reach simples, and if I had Simod, yeah.
They're both the same.
You're counting in Japanese, yeah. English. This is where your scoring's going wrong.
Pick one language, doesn't
yeah. reach simples, peace, and perhaps Tsumo, like concealed self draw.
Yeah.
If I had done that, then I would have just edged into first place, but I didn't go for it. And right after I got to Tenpai, the guy threw my winner. Oh, okay, 2,000 points. I'll take settle for second place. And the thing is, it's a really, I don't know, it's a safe sort of, oh, I'm not going to lose sort of way to play. But really, what are we in North League for if not to try to make it into the top four so that then we can win the whole league, like I did last season,
right.
Which was a lot more ass-kicking than when I just sat there, oh, I'll just take 2,000 points in the small not loss. Kind of pathetic.
Just anything to mention that win again, right?
Yeah, exactly. How can I work that into the conversation every possible week? But it was, I don't know, it goes, it's such a difficult situation, like league, when you're not, when it's not, this winning this game is not actually so important, like accumulating points is actually more important.
Mm-hmm.
And at Sparta last week, we had a situation where I played really crappy in the East round, and then I did manage to come back in the South round, and I got myself back to, say, 27,000 points, so I'm a little bit under 30,000. And Kojima had 32,000 in second place, and Saru had, like, 43,000. So if I managed to get... If Saru threw my winner as Mangan, then I would jump into first place. But the thing is, I would have to reach. My hand was... it was just Junchan, so it was just an outside hand. And I was waiting for Popping. I had my very first discard, because Dora was the red dragon.
Mm-hmm.
My very first discard was 6, because I already had one.
Oh, that's
food
talking.
Is here. I already had 1, 2, 3 in one suit, and like 7, 8, 9 in another suit, and then Dora was Chun, so the red dragon. So I had one of those, and I had a bunch of like outside stuff. So it was clear that I was going to go for an outside hand right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
So the very first thing I threw was the 6 of dots. And I ended up having to be waiting for the 8 of dots. So it's quite possible that if I reached, people would think that probably the 8 of dots was safe because of the instant discard. But the thing is, the rest of my discards were also kind of middle-of-the-road stuff. So it's kind of clear that I'm not going for a normal Pinfu sort of open-ended weight sort of hand, right? So I think... In the end, actually, Saru would have made... Saru was the guy who was actually... He was in first place at that point.
Yeah.
There's no way he would have thrown anything dangerous to me. Like, he would have... He would know right off, okay, Garth is doing something suspicious over there. And he would throw nothing but, in English, in Japanese they say genbutsu, I guess it would be whatever is actually in my discards, or whatever else has come out since I reached, because those are obviously safe. So what ended up happening was Kojima threw my Eight of Dots pretty much right after I got to ready, and it was that's a 5,200 point hand, which was enough to put me over 30,000, which is a big deal in competition rules, to be plus or minus from the number of points that you start. We all start with 30,000. Even if you're in second place, but you finish under 30,000, you still lose points in that situation.
Yes.
So it's huge. And if you're in third place, but you're above 30,000, you still get points in that situation. So it's much less about the placing and more about whether you gained or lost from where you started. So it was a big deal for me to make it.
Excuse me.
Gesundheit. Oh, I forgot. If we're speaking German, we have to say Gesundheit. So it was a big deal, and not only that, because it came from Kojima, it put me in second, and it dropped him down to third, and made him minus. So it was a really big deal that I actually happened to win that. And another thing that happened, they happened to be taking down all of the tiles as we played them by computer, so that then they could play it back on the TV screen, and like.
Oh, wow.
It was part of the study session, and so the whole game I did really idiotic stuff, and people were like, "Jesus, God, what are you doing? That's like the stupidest thing we've ever seen anybody do ever playing Mahjong." Like all everything I did, like in the East round, and then we got to the South round where I actually did some things right, and I really thought that last hand I played so dope. And instantly, Seto Kuma, even Seto Kuma, who didn't reach at all ever in the 10 steps tournament, and I kept asking him, why did you reach in this situation but not in this situation, blah blah blah, I thought I'd get support from him, and even he was like, why didn't you reach there? You, who didn't reach like half of the time you could have reached and would have actually made sense too, he chaps me for not reaching, and I couldn't figure it out. And Moriyama too was like, oh yeah, you should reach there because you could have won. I could not have won. This is also after they had chapped Kojima for reaching in a situation where he was waiting for like the one of cracks to get a full straight, and by reaching he pushed his 7,007 point hand up to an 8,000 point hand. Oh, big deal, right? Like it's a pretty pointless reach.
Yeah.
And he ended up drawing, so it was reached Sumo Pinfu. And the full straight. Oh, 8,000 points. Way to go. And so then everybody was kind of chapping him, including Moriyama, for changing a 7,700 point hand to an 8,000 point hand. For me, changing that 5,200 point hand to an 8,000 point hand was basically the same thing, because it didn't put me in first place. Unless I got it straight from Saru. Mm-hmm. And there's absolutely no way he was going to throw anything dangerous to me once I reached. So it really seemed like a total obvious non-reach to me. And then they, like, everybody except, after everybody chastised me publicly in front of the whole group, then, like, I was kind of off to the side, and Kono came up to me and he was like, hey, I wouldn't have reached there either.
Setting up your own little special non-reach is anonymous.
Yeah. So I was definitely a little stoked to have somebody on my side, finally. And I'm sure there were others who probably wouldn't have reached too, but I didn't get the approval rating from them.
That's pretty funny.
But, you know, similar situation, I guess, but not quite. It's a little bit similar, but sort of a little bit different in that at the end of North Kanto, I really may have sort of had a shot at winning the whole game. And if I'm going to try to win again to, you know, make it to the final table and try to win the whole thing, you got to be going for it to get the big scores, right? Mm. And you know, so I'm looking at the other people that are at the top of the leaderboard there. Sawazaki, I was watching some of his play. Man, the guy is just so dope. He's super quiet, and yet he's still just always putting together gigantic hands that win. And then, you know, next thing you know, he's got 50,000 points and he's winning another game. He's really killing it right now. Except, although in normal league, I guess he is kind of right in the middle. But he's Sawazaki really seems like his game has been on fire lately. Definitely somebody.
Yeah, he's at the top of North Kanto and everything.
Yeah, but I think in normal league he might be sort of in the middle of A1. Boink, 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 boink.
Yeah, I just mentioned you on Twitter, so you got a
way to go, me. I'm connected. Alright, so that's what happened in League and stuff. And what I was thinking about, talking about just sort of strategy-wise this week is, so you're on vacation, Gemma. Yes.
Yay.
But it's sort of almost working vacation, huh? Or at least there will be one day of work discussing Mahjong.
Yes, we have a meeting.
Louder.
We have a meeting with Moriyama-san of JPML.
And so I guess, I don't know, one of the aims of all of this discussion is probably to, you know, grow Mahjong in Europe and Asia, and I would guess at some point in America too.
Hopefully, yeah, to like increase ties, because, you know, Europe is starting to feel they want to kind of move out a bit. I mean, at the moment it's very insular, where, you know, and I think that might be stagnating our play as well.
Huh. You were mentioning, we were kind of talking about stuff last night, that there seems to be a bit of rivalry between some of the national leagues.
Yeah, I think it's inevitable, though. I mean, Europe's a large place, and there's a lot of cultures, and inevitably you're going to have a bit of tension between the groups. And, of course, everyone's sort of pulling in different directions. Some groups want to make it more this way, other groups want to be more that way, and I guess you have that in Japan, but, you know, probably on a person-to-person level, whereas, you know, the national groups kind of seem to take a direction as a whole and then pull against each other.
Huh. But, I mean, the fact that, like one entire national group would be so anti another national group that none of them want to participate in the other's tournaments is like, wow, I mean...
I think it's more they just don't enjoy the way the other group plays, because they're different styles of playing, and I play both ways, but, you know.
So, at their tournaments, do they actually use different rules that actually, like, one
no,
set of rules?
It's the same rule, but...
So they are using the same rules, it's just that some people like...
It's the play style's different, you know, I mean, lots of people go for all pungs, and some people think that hand is cheap.
Well, it is. It's only a 2-point hand. It's a lot more impressive if you put some other things in there, like a couple gora.
It almost never works anyway.
Well, I mean, it works a disturbing amount of the time when I'm on table, I've noticed. It is frustrating sometimes when someone just always goes for all punks every single hand. Yeah, like, stop it, just stop it. But I've done it myself to other people, so.
You mean you've gone...
Well, sometimes it just happens, you know? You see a hand, you're like, this is toy, yeah, time to go.
I go for a half flush pretty much every hand.
Yeah, I have found lately that the times I am going for half flush are disturbingly a lot.
I keep a diary, and it's interesting to see at what point, like, I had went through this three-colored run phase where, like, so many of my hands were three-colored runs, and then, yeah, I switched to half flush phase, and...
Uh-huh.
And
yeah, I could have, like, three of one suit, and then like four or five character tiles, honor tiles, and then I'm just gonna go for a half flush.
Who is here now?
No, we're quite popular.
It's our salad.
Wow, we ordered salad separately. I didn't realize we were like multi-store delivery order people.
You realize we're getting salad?
Yeah. We are very sophisticated. We don't want to get our salad from the pizza place.
Well, the thing is, like, the guy thought I was really cute and he wanted an excuse to come back again. And so, with the salad, he brought also a coupon for 700 yen off our next order so he could come back again.
So the salad is, in fact, from the pizza place?
Yeah.
What?
You can take all the deliveries. That's amazing.
No, they just forgot it.
You did order it, but he forgot it,
so he's like, I'll bring it back. I'll bring the salad later.
Okay.
And he brought it with a 700 yen discount coupon.
Wow, way to go, us.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, can I just give this back to you, and you give me 700 yen right now? Because we did just buy food. But
I think he wanted an excuse to come back again, like I said.
Yes, that's obvious. Cuties. But getting back to that discussion about playstyle... That's been actually a discussion in Japan of late too, and one of the guys that was on the 10 steps final table is a little bit notorious for having that what a lot of players actually would think of as an extremely ridiculous playing style, like pretty much chiing or chowing or punging whenever he can, not just because it's going to actually help him win the hand, but just because he can chi or pung there. and it's like he's not actually even really trying to win the hand so much. He's really, as what if you think that he actually does have any strategy at all, pretty much the only strategy that you can imagine he is using there is that he's trying to get us to screw up the way we play our hands by calling for tiles.
I think that's pretty ingenious though, because like that's part of the game, right?
It is certainly part of the game.
That a lot of people don't utilize enough.
Yeah, the fact that somebody plays the game in a way in such a way that it screws you up is not really an excuse to say that guy sucks. I mean,
doing a good job playing you.
Yeah, he is totally tooling you is what he's doing. And you're losing, and then you blame your loss on the fact that he's beating the crap out of you. Well, it's just like in poker, if some guy shoves every hand, on the one hand you say, well, how sophisticated is that play? But if he keeps doing it and everybody keeps folding, well, then he's just beating the crap out of you guys.
It's not even shoving every hand. It's like choosing places to make your bluff. I don't have any chance of actually winning this hand, so I'm going to bluff and make you think that I'm going to win it anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big poker, like, oh, that guy bluffs, so I can't win.
Yeah, and so that means that means he's a terrible player.
He put all his chips in with, like, deuce three, and I had to fold to it, so he's a bad player.
If he were any better, I would win more.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of, I don't know. I mean, you have complained about the guy's playing style, too, but when I hear something like that, it makes me think, well, you know, he's kind of ahead of the game.
He is, if that is the actual strategy he's using. I'm not sure if there is that actual strategy there, but, and the thing is...
Well, if he is and he's shutting up about it, that's even better.
And
because
he
why
did,
would you want people to know that?
Last year, he did win the 10 Steps tournament, and he won Champions League. So, it's hard to... And even while I was complaining about his play last year, other Renmei players were saying, Garth, it's pretty uncool to be telling winners that their play sucks. Like,
Then what happens this year?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But, yeah. So, anyway, the whole idea of telling people that their play style is unacceptable because it ruins the way you want to play is a little bit strange. I mean, it is a game, and everybody is trying to win in their own way, and everybody has their own way of trying to win, and that's why, that's what makes the game interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was really like there is only one way to play, then really in the end it is just luck again, and what fun is that if we're just gonna play for luck?
Yeah,
so,
exactly. And I like it when people. I don't really care. I mean, it gets frustrating if they happen to be lucky at that moment and they keep winning and winning with bad hands or something, but, I mean, the truth is you want them to play like that.
Yes. Theoretically, yes. We do want somebody to play in a way that is mostly going to make them lose, because that will make us mostly win, right?
Yeah.
So, that's the theory, isn't it? But getting back to the idea of what we want to do to grow Mahjong, especially, our focus, reach Mahjong, I guess more inclusion, definitely more acceptance of the way other people play, I think is important. Because especially that style of play is, it's what newer players will tend to do. And if the first thing that a new player hears when he comes to the game is that you can't play like that, your playing sucks, how much longer is he going to want to play the game? Like, that's just going to discourage new players from wanting to continue playing at all. If more experienced players say, like, you can't play like that, like, no, that doesn't make sense. I mean, as an experienced player, I think you shouldn't play like that. I think you will tend to lose more if you play like that. But actually, if you manage to play like that and still win, then you must be kind of doing something right.
Yeah.
And so, I think on the one hand, and this is something that I think Japan could definitely benefit from too, because in the commentating for the 10 Steps tournament, they were chapping him mercilessly. I think he went home and watched the coverage of it after the tournament. And it's true, he really changed his playstyle in the second and third days. And I wonder how different the tournament would have been if he had just played the way he always does the whole way through.
Yeah, I'm a person who doesn't like to look at the results partway through.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understand the idea of like seeing how your opponents are playing and stuff like that, but I don't even want to look at the scores partway through. So when we go into league, when I was went into women's league and stuff, like I knew which place I was in. I did not know the specific scores and how much I was away from this person and that person because that really just messes me up.
You mean like in the like even during that last session, you weren't trying to figure out how far away
not
you were
at
from?
All. Oh, okay. I was just trying to play how I should be playing for that one, and if I knew if I thought about the points and stuff, it would just, I'd start going for things that I should have maybe, or I'd start going for certain scores or something, and it really just messes me up. So they always have the list available at the beginning of league with how many points you have and how far ahead or behind you are each person, right? Mm. And a lot of people pick that up every time, and I make a point of not picking it up or looking at it at all.
Yeah, I've kind of stopped picking that up, but I think that might just be because I'm too hungover to try to look for anything to look at.
Well, I think if I was in a final like that, and especially if I wasn't really losing at the beginning, maybe if I was losing a lot at the beginning, I might take a look and then change something. But if I was doing all right, I don't think I would look at the past games or anything.
My main point about that was that he was the most popular player by far from the people watching, and there were a lot of comments from them because this was an online streaming thing, so people could comment as it was happening, and all the comments were like, why do the pros complain so much about people cheeing and punging all the time? And, there was a lot of bewilderment about why he was getting so much crap about the way he played. And I think it was definitely justified. Like, it was a very valid point that should leave him alone, because he did actually win the tournament.
And this is coming from you, who had lots of complaints about how he was playing. Important point to make.
Oh, yes, it's true.
Even somebody who was complaining that much about him, you recognize the...
Yeah, I mean, I complain about... I don't know. What is it that I'm complaining about? What I'm complaining about?
You're complaining about losing?
I'm disappointed that I lose.
Coming across that.
I think it's a bit of a ridiculous way to play. But actually, like we just said, if the way he plays manages to make other players play worse so that he can, in fact, win, then it's genius. And what I wanted to say to the players like from last year who couldn't beat him, the key to beating him is to just not react to what he does. If you just keep going for whatever you're doing, then you're going to win more often than he does because you're still just playing your hand. Whereas if you keep trying to react to what he's doing, a lot of times there really is absolutely no sense to what he's doing, and so you're trying to read into something that actually has nothing to be read. And so the strategy against that guy is to ignore him. And if you pay attention to him, then you're falling for the trap that he's setting, and then you're just going to lose.
Or learn to read him.
And it's true. Obviously, there are times when there really is something to be read. He's not totally random, but there were definitely times where you saw what he cheated and pwned, and you're like, "Oh, there is absolutely no hand point there." The only thing he could be shooting for is either the last draw. Or perhaps a chunk on. Just like, what in the world? Or comedy. Maybe he's just shooting for comedy.
He might just be going for a ready hand.
Yeah, or that
maybe
too, yeah. As dealer.
The hand would end as a draw. And he needs to have his hand ready.
That's another good point, too. But getting back to... I keep trying to talk about us growing... acceptance of people's play, but also we gotta get more of these international events, like something that actually brings the Japanese players and the European players, and eventually the American players, like the U.S. Pro Mahjong League has it's still in its infancy, but you'd expect that they're gonna be growing, and there's that conference coming up in March. Mahjong Madness, like you pointed out, that does focus mostly on American style rules. But who knows? If they got in touch with Mahjong Time, who I guess is teamed up with the conference, Mahjong Time definitely has reach Japanese rules on it. I don't know. Maybe they could get something together for that event. But definitely more international events, I think, are key to growing reach Mahjong around the world.
Yeah, and you know, this is a Mahjong trade show, but the one that we went to in Las Vegas was also Mahjong Madness.
Uh-huh.
So they must be changing.
Changing what they're doing, yeah. They do say they're going to have 2 days of competition. And they point out that it's going to be American rules using the new card for this year. So, you know, who knows what all will be going on there. But it'd be another great chance to make some cool contacts and maybe, again, try to introduce some people in America to Japanese Mahjong. Something for the USPML guys to think about. And if something happens, who knows, maybe we can jam on it over there too.
That would be fun.
It would be pretty awesome.
I think I'm going to be in Korea around that time.
Oh, Korea.
But there's also a group in Korea that we're going to meet with.
Oh, really?
At that time, yeah.
So. Wow. Well, maybe I'll follow you over there.
It's a bit closer, at least.
It is. It's like a domestic flight going to Korea for us.
Yeah. Jumping over the pond. All right, well, that's enough rambling, perhaps. Let's wrap it up. Let's see, next week, there's a tournament in Poland, I think. The Polish League is having one of their yearly tournaments. And
so the Chicago tournament is coming up?
Right, the Mahjong Con at the Animation Con, or whatever it is. I can't remember exactly the name
right
now.
And there are reachmahjong.com prizes at that event.
Absolutely, so go over there and get some cool prizes, and check out some other Japanese culture, since it's the meeting of East and West at that conference. And if you want to find information on that one is, you can find information on that on reachmahjong.com. Speaking of reachmahjong.com, that is who we are. You can reach me, Garth E, GARTHE, at reachmahjong.com. What's your address is?
Jen, JENN, at reachmahjong.com.
And since we have our special guest here, are you? You're reachable at reachmahjong.com, yes?
Yes, I have an address. It's GEMMA at reachmahjong.com.
If you have comments for Gemma regarding Europe or Mahjong or anything.
Gemma, not Gemma.
Yeah.
Or Hema. Or Gema. I've had a lot.
Yes, and let's see, other places. You're on Twitter too, aren't you?
Yeah, Mahjong Gem.
Mahjong Gem, which is similar to Mahjong Jen.
Jen, yep.
I did copy hers.
Ah, okay. I did not copy. I am Garth E, GARTHEEE, three E's at the end there. And other, let's see, other events. I mean, you're going to APPT Macau next week, yeah?
Yep.
Are there any more online qualifiers for that, or
I'm sure there are for APPT main event, not for the JPT Japan Poker Tour. Those are all finished for this season, and we'll be starting new events very soon. That will be announced soon. But APPT, I think there's still satellites
still
going
online
on
stuff.
Pretty close to
right, close right to as it
day.
Starts.
Yeah. And you can even go there and play satellites live starting next week, I believe. Starting today. Can't remember. It's all on the website.
Oh, that's right. This week there's already stuff starting, isn't
there? Yeah.
It's a crazy 2 weeks of poker
it's
there in Macau.
It's a whole poker festival.
It really makes me hope that I crash and burn in the OE tournament this weekend so that I can go to Macau next week. But yes, I have the main part of the Honsen. What would you say for that in English? Honsen.
It's just the main event.
The main event for the OE tournament.
All the qualifying rounds are finished.
So yes, I got a bye to the main round because I won. Oh, look at I worked it in twice.
Yeah, way to go! You are a podcasting wizard.
Oh yes, I'm a genius. So yes, I get to play in that, but and it's just annoying that anybody who's ever won that is going to be joining even later.
Well, you say that this year, but after you win this year and next year, you're in it already. You're not going to be saying that anymore. So.
I don't know, once I win it, I think I'll just be pretty stoked that I won it, and I won't actually really need to win it so much anymore.
Yeah, right. You're going to be like, I won it last year, why didn't I win it this year?
Will I be like that?
Yes.
I will probably be like that, it's true. I'm already sort of thinking that about North Kanto. Alright, that is all the stuff that's going on this week. If you'd like to get in touch with us, please do. We always love to hear from you. And thank you, Gemma, for showing up in our weekly podcast.
Thank you.
And Garth's very clean apartment that we didn't even get to touch on.
Oh, yeah, we did not touch.
We wanted to talk about that, but we just don't have enough time. Next week, we will have another podcast
Japanese
with Gemma next week.
Jim, you're still here next week.
I will still be here.
Holy
yes.
bagoli. Think of all the stuff that's going to happen that we can talk about. More gin and tonics. And
I was not drunk after last night. That's terrifying.
Oh, that's well done. Sharp. All right. It'll be some good stories, I guess. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next week.